Greetings,
Blog
family.
Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
I just encourage all of us to be very sober,
What I mean by that is sometimes we feel that we don't have a way of getting out of the mess that we're in. We don't have a victory plan. We don't have a strategy or a system or tools that will allow us to make significant progress. And so I want to encourage everyone to perk up, listen carefully, because Ulu, in fact, has tools, systems, methods by which and through which we can gain significant control of the economics of our community and our nations. And so while we may seem to be lighthearted and joke around, but it's a very serious matter. When I mean by the serious matter, the condition that we're in. And we have as a responsibility, as all adults do, to come up with ways to protect and get our families to a safer place. So I just encourage us to, as Brother Thurman has indicated, be prepared to ask questions, the tough questions, take notes, visit our website, and do all you can to do your due diligence so that you would be able to determine if the Ulu plan is worthy of your attention, your involvement, your support, and sharing it with others. So that would be all I would have to say at the start of the this evening's broadcast.
Wonderful. All right. Family members, those just coming on the line, if you are listening by internet radio and you don't have the call-in number, the call-in number is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and you press 1 when you're ready with your question or comment. So we're going to proceed, and we've got some reminders and other things we're going to get to. But we have a question that we want to deal with just for a little bit. And the question is, in any type of emergency, how prepared are we for group survival? And thinking on that, Baba Hakima, the question I'd like for you to address is how does business success affect our community life, including emergencies?
Well, if I can kind of rephrase the question, you're asking how does business success impact or influence the social life of the community and helps us or aids us in preparing for emergencies. Is that the essence of the question?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. Well, when we say business, of course, we mean economic activity in general. Those things that relate to a people's or community ability to manipulate, to involve themselves in meeting the needs of the community, some of the basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter, but also some additional either needs or major wants. And so to the extent that a community is able to organize itself and take care of business, so to speak, in other words, to be successful in organizing itself so that it can meet its needs, one of the ongoing needs is security on many levels. And certainly if you're not able to face with some planning and follow through emergencies, then you're not prepared to ensure the security of the community. So our ability to organize our communities and organize ourselves as members of Ulu and be successful at opening and running successful businesses which generate resources, gives us a better opportunity to support activities and other institutions that speak to our group welfare. And I think most of us realize that those communities that have a handle on their economic welfare are generally able to fare better in every other aspect of life, whether that's in politics, in education, in security. And so I think it's fair to say that as we and others are successful in creating a new paradigm in terms of how we do business in and among ourselves and with others, then we'll also be in a position to support and buttress other aspects of the life, of the social life of our community. So that would be, in short, what I would respond to that. And maybe there's another aspect that you might want to speak to as well.
Okay. Well, I know that you've covered a lot of things. It's certainly important because when you talked about economics, how that can provide the resources that we can make a number of things happen. And
well, let me say this, though, before we go. Because if we don't get the economics right,
yes,
everything else really doesn't matter. Because if you don't, and if we don't control the economics of our community, by default, someone else does. And whoever controls the economics of our community will set the broad agenda and the broad priorities and tempo of what's happening. So priority one for African people, wherever we are in the world, is to pay very close attention to how we organize the economy, the commercial activities in our community. And, of course, ULU is very bold in saying that the methods that we've used in the more recent past are not working. And not only are they not working, they cannot work because they're based on individually centered economic activity. In other words, everyone doing their thing all by themselves with no central planning and no opportunity for collaboration, for collusion, or for central planning. And so not only are we saying that we've got to handle our economics in a more prudent and successful way, but in order to do that, our position is that we have to be successful in creating a group-owned model, a model unlike what's typical in our community. But in addition to what's typical, entrepreneurship and black business ownership, we also have to, in our opinion, we must create a group-owned platform that we can grow to scale so that we're able to do some things that we have not been able to do in the recent past. You know, to think of owning shipping lines or to think of owning airplanes and be able to manage that or to be able to own manufacturing plants with global capacity, while we can't start there, wherever we start, if we're not thinking and planning and channeling our energy to go to that level, then again, by default, someone else controls that territory, that space. But I guess the major point we always want to point out is that ULU is calling for a new economic paradigm, a new model based on group ownership, cooperative ownership, mutual ownership, and to go along with and to be another aspect of the economic activity in our community, along with the economic activity that's there now. We're not suggesting that ULU will replace the current economic activity in our community, but we want to add a different model and grow it to where it's the dominant economic model in many of our communities. And as a matter of fact, we would say that that if Ujamaa, or what we call family-centered economics, is not at the core of what we do on the planet as Africans, and if we by default use the current models, then we're going to be outmaneuvered, and we're not going to be in a safe place. So on a small scale and on a grand scale, we're stressing cooperative economics, mutual economics, or group-owned economics, any number of names. And so, but the basic thing is that as opposed to an individually focused economy or commercial activity, what ULU is proposing, and not only proposing, but actively involved in building, is a model that is group-owned and can accommodate thousands, tens of thousands, and eventually hundreds of thousands and millions of stakeholders, both individuals and institutions.
Okay. Thank you so much, Baba Hakima, and much respect for the words that you've given us, and I know that there's a whole lot more that we've got to talk about. Family members, please be taking note and give respect for the work that's been done by ULU and the ones that originally came together as a study group and studied and looked around the world to study and build this model and has it in place. It's beyond the just the study group now. It's much, much more. We're going to take a break. Keep in mind that we've got to, as was said, we've got to have a new method, and we've got to be proud and say it loud like James Brown said, and also give respect to our elders, to our ancestors, and to our people, and get our thinking in the right direction. Welcome, Black family members. We're going to continue on with the call. Thank you so much for being on the line with us. And At this point, I do want to remind you once again, anyone that has not already gone to our webpage, it's usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com. It's very important that you visit our webpage and take a thorough look at it. There's some valuable information that gives you more and more insight about Us Lifting Us, including on the homepage, there's three videos on the right side of the screen that it's very important that you take a look, including the top one that's an online presentation that will just give you some further information and clarity about Us Lifting Us. And the call-in number, when you have comments or questions, make sure you take notes. But when you got comments or questions, the telephone number is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. That will put you in the queue. Baba Hakima, moving forward on further with Us Lifting Us, give us more information, more details about what is Us Lifting Us and what is the benefit of this formation to the black community. Give us more details on that.
Well, that's the meat of what we want to share every week. Let's start with our name, Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC. We're a limited liability company. And so what we have already done, what we've been successful with, is putting in place a legal model that's not only local but global, that allows for the affiliation of brothers and sisters around the world who have as an objective economic control of our economy. And when we join Us Lifting Us, essentially what we're doing is joining as partners in a limited liability company. And what we join to do is to aggregate our resources and then use those resources to build an economic powerhouse. And when I say an economic powerhouse, what I'm saying is that it's not only possible, but it's a necessity that we use the skills, the ingenuity, the genius, and the other resources, our labor, our capital, to build a well-oiled economic machine, a machine that creates jobs for our people, that provide needed goods and services, that supports other institutions in the community. And the added benefit of ULU is that because it's a business, and in fact a for-profit business, it has the capacity to yield a return or a benefit, a direct benefit back to our members, in the form of profit sharing. And so the overall benefit for our community to be derived from successful ULU activity and growth and presence is that incrementally we can gain greater and greater control of the commercial activity in our local communities. Attach these local communities to other local communities, and attach the local communities in the U.S. with local communities in Europe and Africa, Central and South America. In other words, we can involve ourselves in global commerce. But the tangible benefit is, and probably the benefit that most people are going to appreciate, is creating thousands of new jobs, well-paying jobs with benefits, but not only the jobs, but our workers will also be owners, so that even after they are no longer workers, as owners, they still continue to receive direct benefits from the economic success of the overall enterprise. So jobs will also be in a position to contribute to institutions that that round out the stability and have an impact in our local communities, especially institutions around our youth and our elders as well. So we'll be able to contribute to charity and endowment. We'll also stimulate other business activity. As Ulu comes online with additional businesses, our first instinct is to find other black businesses that can supply some of the needs of the businesses, electricians, insurance brokers, accountants, you know, some of the things that we already do. We have to look at pest control, grease cleaning, grease trap cleaning, electricians, all kinds of things that we can, by having successful Ulu businesses, we begin to have an impact on the business life in the community. Unlike many businesses, we're going to look crazy if we go outside of our community for a service that could be supplied within our circle. So members have first opportunities. Members who have their own businesses have the first opportunities to develop a transactional relationship with us so that, you know, there's cross-pollination. So jobs, stimulating the economy, charity, and again, we mentioned the benefit of receiving a direct monetary benefit or from owning equity in the company. But I think the most important benefit of a successful Ulu, a successful model such as Ulu, is dignity. What does it mean for a young brother or sister to have never known what it feels like for themselves, their parents, their grandparents, the people that they know? What does it feel like for them to have never known what it feels like to be in charge, to be in control? And so we look forward to the time where the economic activity in our community is sufficient enough that everybody knows that we dominate the commercial activity in that zone. And for the young person who can live and walk and thrive and have a job in that kind of environment where they know that their parents, their grandparents, their community is not taking it on the chin, that, in fact, we are taking care of business, so to speak. But not only that locally, but as you continue to grow and that begins to spread in multiple communities, in regions and nation states in the world, the model that Ulu has put in place and is now involved in growing is such a model. There are similar models in the world that do in the multiple billions of dollars in gross revenue a year. And if we're not thinking in those terms, then again, by default, we're allowing other people to occupy that space. So the benefits are jobs, offering needed products, goods, and services to our community, and charity, stimulating additional economic activity, and a direct return. One of the things that I remind brothers and sisters about all the time, a lot of times brothers and sisters say we need land, or we need this, or we need that. The truth of it is we have land. Some of it is barren, and because there is not already a market in place, the brothers and sisters who own the land find it difficult to make it work. there are communities in this country, in America, and in other places in the world, where all of the infrastructure, for the most part, is controlled by us. The sheriff is black. The chief of police is black. The board of directors, the county board of directors, the city council, the mayor is black. Everything is black. The chief, the fire chief is black, but there are no jobs. So what we can do as we succeed with our model is strategically marry the cities with some rural areas where once we are into manufacturing and distribution, agriculture and value-added activity, we can locate these in rural communities where we can increase the job base there. So the benefit is just, you know, humongous. But, and we talked about it a little earlier, when you have and when we have sufficient leverage from the economic sphere, then you can have you can begin to affect other aspects of the life of the community, affecting policy, affecting other kinds of services, affecting security. But again, one of the most important things is the dignity and how we feel about ourselves and how our youth feel about themselves and their future.
Yes, Baba Hakima, thank you so much for powerful words. And family members, you're quiet out there. You should be taking notes. You should be taking notes. This is serious. This is serious for our people. When he talked about that dignity, it's serious. Employing our people, it's serious. You know, we've got land. We've got to put the resources together and make things happen. This is serious. Family members, we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. Members, welcome back, and we're going to continue on the black side of this conversation, thinking and about our economics and how we can pool our resources and us lifting us as a model that's already in place, making that happen, and we've got the necessary ingredients, and we've got the loyal members that's involved around the world. And if anyone is new, if you are not a member, take notes, take a look at our website, uslivingus.com, very thoroughly, and give strong consideration to why you should join Us Lifting Us and be a part of this movement to bring forth our economic liberation and all of the things, the benefits that's already been mentioned, including dignity and jobs and legacies for other generations, multiple legacies. Baba Hakima, before we go forward with, I wanted to continue the conversation, but we do have a caller that I want to identify. And caller, I want to welcome you to thank you so much for being on the call tonight. The last four numbers are 3440. 3440. please give your name and where you're calling from.
Greetings, brothers. This is Brother Shabaka up in Baltimore. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to say a couple words and make a comment and ask a question of you all. But I'm glad you got a nice program today, and I think it's very enlightening and instructive. But let me ask this question and see where we can take it. Currently up here in the D.C. area, the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation is hosting its weekend. Number of black topics are mentioned, and the caucus technically is supposed to represent at least the 45 million of us that are currently residing in this country. Having said that, if we were able to approach them, what kind of a message will we deliver to them, which you think might have impact, or would it have impact? I guess that's my question.
Okay. I think we should approach them. One of the things that it may be getting past us, but this upcoming election season is the first time in my life where a good number of individuals are not bashful about identifying themselves as socialists. They may say democratic socialist, but socialism. And from all indications, people below a certain age, I'm not sure what that is, but voting age, many of them prefer capitalism over prefer socialism over capitalism. So what I'm saying that to point to is that there's a shift, there's a change. People are willing to entertain a change. So I think that we should approach the Congressional Black Caucus and encourage them to elevate the discussion and create the space for a new economic model or paradigm in the black community, that they should commission experts, maybe even fund the study of cooperative economics, co-ops, large scale, and its potential benefit in our community as a remedy for some of the things that befall us. And so I think they should be challenged. I think if they're not challenged to seriously consider a different model, then I don't think they are living up to their mandate. So that would be my answer, is to, and maybe we need to put together position papers, be prepared to shop those papers around to various committees and various personalities, and maybe we won't be successful this year, but to put in process such that a part of their plank, part of their discussion, their committee discussions, center around large-scale, group-owned business enterprise and activity to address jobs, business opportunities, and some of the things that we've mentioned. So I don't think we should let them off the hook.
Very good. Thank you so much, Brother Shabaka. Did that answer your question? You know, as a very good.
Yes, thank you very much for that response. It makes very much sense. As you said, this is a upcoming election year. In fact, November, early part of November, people will be flocking to the polls, and just about all of the Black Caucus representatives will be out beating the path, trying to get reelected. So you're correct in your thinking to me that we need to, you know, challenge them and present them with a new alternative, since they're supposed to be representing us, you know, in that body. Thank you so much for your response. I'll go off and listen to others who may have similar kinds of questions or other questions. Thanks so much.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you so much, Carla. We're going to continue on with our agenda. And family members, do make sure that you recognize that every week we're here to educate you about ULU, and there's lots of working parts to Us Lifting Us. And if you're a member or if you're a potential member, it's essential that you know, because there's lots of moving, working parts to Us Lifting Us, and we really need to know. And Baba Hakima, before we had taken the break, you had mentioned that there were other business formations that that's got some similarity to Us Lifting Us, and you talked about the billions of dollars. Do you want to need to elaborate on those different business models?
I don't think we need to elaborate, but the whole world is looking for new models, because the current models, there's some systemic problem. There's some contradictions, and the whole world is changing. So I would just say in general, a good video, a YouTube video to go through. Let me see if I got the name of it. It's the ownership economy. Is that the name of it? Oh, it's building the ownership economy, or building the ownership economy. But anything dealing with cooperative co-ops. And by the way, they're Italy, probably more people there per capita belong to co-ops than any place. The most successful one, independent co-op, is in Spain, the Mondragon model. But in Cleveland, Ohio, the Evergreen Project, in Canada, any number of them. The University of Wisconsin here in the United States is the leading university helping individuals and communities and building co-ops, all the way from electrical power generating co-ops, whether it's solar, wind, hydroelectric, all the way to smaller co-ops. So, but all around the world, Argentina, governments are creating new statutes that allow for cooperative societies, because they understand that, you know, there are a few giant corporations in the world, and their cronies in government, wherever they be, may be, dominate the economic activity on the planet. And so most well-meaning leaders in government and in civic life in the world realize that the economic activity in their countries and in their communities need to be rooted in the community, so that the stakeholders, the people who actually own the economic generators, the businesses, the farms, the manufacturing concerns, need to be rooted in the community, such that an enterprise cannot say that, well, you didn't give me adequate tax breaks or this perk or that perk, and I'll just simply up and move to another country where I can rate the labor resources of that country. And so there's a whole global movement around group-owned economics. Some of them call themselves worker cooperatives. ULU is a hybrid. It's not a worker cooperative. It's a combination of a number of types. But I guess the main thing I would say is that we rob ourselves, those of us who are concerned about the liberation of our people. people and our communities and our assets and setting in motion something to pass to future generations. We rob ourselves if we only think of individuals getting wealthy. We have to think about the group getting wealthy, and you do that from establishing businesses that allow for group membership and participation and large scale. When I say large scale, I mean businesses that can grow into the $20 billion, $50 billion, $100 billion a year in gross revenue and activity. But I'm getting off track, and I probably have even forgotten the question. But yeah, there are models around the world, and this model has been with us. After emancipation, our instinct, African peoples, black folk in this country's instincts were to form mutual aid societies. And that wasn't just our instinct. That's what we did. And we built hundreds of communities of business excellence on our own. Of course, we were attacked. And those communities were disassembled, utilizing different tactics, either violence or running expressways right through those communities, because the powers that be understood that left alone, we know how to build. And so in this current environment, we have greater latitude. That's not to say that we won't still be interfered with, but we have a very resource-rich foundation from which to build. And if we do not take the opportunity to do so, then it's on us. We can't keep pointing the finger at other communities. We got to do what is necessary to build and defend our own development. So, yeah, there are models in the world that we are learning from, and they will be learning also from us.
Good. There's so much more family members. Baba Hakima, on the subject of membership, for any new listeners on the call, and all members need to have clarity, how do persons apply for membership, and can anyone join?
Almost anyone in our community. we are intentional. We're building this for our people, so we don't hide that. Now, keep in mind who we are. Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative LLC. So for the brothers and sisters out there in Radio Land who are considering taking a strong look at ULU, what we're asking you to do is to consider becoming a partner in a limited liability company with roughly 500 of us who are already members. And there's a cost for membership. It's $50, and that $50 is a processing fee to become a full member, not a junior member, a full member. And what we mean by that are that all of the perks that are developed for members, it's available for that member. Now, you have to renew your membership once a year, every 12 months. And much of that is having to do with establishing a quorum so that when we come together and vote, it's easy to develop a quorum. But I don't want to take you off into that. But members and only members of ULU have the opportunity to acquire equity in the company and participate in profit sharing. Now, clearly, we intend, as we build and have business success, in other words, to produce a surplus, that surplus there's a formula for the allocation of that surplus. And a good percentage of it comes back to our members in the form of a direct monetary benefit. And so membership, again, is there are three aspects of becoming a NULU member. It's filling out an online application, and if you don't like filling out applications online, you can print it out and fill it out and drop it in the mail, along with a money order or a personal check for your membership fee of $50. But you can do it online, and we prefer that you do it online because it informs the database right away, and it's, you know, we're not subject to putting in the data in an incorrect manner. Now, again, members and only members can then acquire equity and qualify for profit sharing as we go. There's no limit to the amount of equity that a member can contribute. It could be millions of dollars, it could be tens of thousands, hundreds of dollars, whatever. But incrementally, that equity that's involved in the contribution is separated in terms of shares or units. And our model, as we develop and gain economic success or begin to produce a surplus, then all of the ownership units will be rewarded with their share of the profits. And so ULU has created a win-win scenario. The structure empowers the community through creating jobs, through stimulating the local economy, through committing to charity, but it also benefits in a very direct way our members. And members are able to not only pass their equity down to future generations, but the capacity to generate surplus is also passed. The businesses, the factories, the systems, the wherewithal, the infrastructure is also passed to future generations. So when we talk about wealth acquisition and we talk about genuine wealth, it's not so much denoted by how much money passes through our hands, but the fact that we own in a very real way income producing institutions, and those can be global. But membership is first of all a decision by a person of Black African descent to join with other brothers and sisters in creating a new model, not only in the model is already created, in strengthening the new model with additional capital, with additional skills, with additional well-wishes, because a very powerful thing that can happen right now, if for every brother and sister that's on this call, whether you're on the radio side or whether you're on the telephone side, if you make a commitment tonight to take a strong look at ULU membership, but also to do what's necessary to bring your coworkers, your partners, your homies back to this call next week, and also to our website. I'll just say this in closing on that question. Most of us would say yes, that we are interested in gaining economic control of our communities. But almost none of us have a good idea of how that could be done. What's the method? What's the process? So we encourage you to look at our website, to call us with questions, and you can do that. We'll give the number in a moment. So the offer, what ULU is offering to our community, is an exact method by which and through which we can incrementally gain greater and greater and greater control of our communities. And we can build that and arrive at a level where we're not the only player economically in the world, but we dominate in our spaces. And that's required of us. I can't stress that enough. That's not an option. if you're an adult, if you're bold enough to bring life into the world, then it's incumbent upon us to create the systems and dedicate the resources, whether it's our lifeblood or every breath that we have. It's incumbent upon us to do what we praise other people of doing, and that is to dominate that space. So anyway, you'll have me going down, all around the bond, so to speak. So I apologize for digressing. But membership, it spells it out right there on the website. And we can accommodate tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, in fact, millions of members. Remember, Garvey's had more than 5 million members. I'm not sure the number, scattered throughout the world. We have got to duplicate that effort and go beyond. And we've got to defend it. We've got to protect it. And that is not only our calling, but it is our responsibility. Thank you for the question, brother.
Good word, Baba Hakima. And sisters and brothers, family members, you remember what he just said about Garvey. We go forth and do what he said, and even more members and more success than Garvey had, we would most certainly be inviting him to bring that whirlwind back very visible to us. Baba Hakima, in this last 4 minutes, just give us any updates and tell us something about our very first business, Cafe Ulu.
Yes, I would invite everyone to visit the Cafe Ulu website, which is cafeulu.com. And if you're in Atlanta or nearby, we need you to patronize Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu is just in its seventh month. It's not into profit yet, and it desperately needs all of our support. So for those of us in Atlanta, establish a pattern of going by Cafe Ulu several times a week and getting some coffee, some pastries, some wraps, engaging in conversation with brothers and sisters, and participating in events. And if you sponsor an event, consider having your event at Cafe Ulu. If you're a business person and you do business remotely from time to time, bring your laptop and everything else and, enjoy the Wi-Fi, enjoy the soft music. There's a dedicated printer there. So there are several of us who, several days a week, that's our office. That's where we conduct business from. And so CafeUlu.com, and look at our Facebook page, and that's the best indicator of the vibrant activity there. Now, for brothers and sisters around the world, and particularly in this country, in the U.S., order bags of coffee from our website. Just go to CafeUlu.com, click on the store. I think that's the link. But you can order coffee, Cameroonian, Ethiopian, Tanzanian, maybe Jamaican, any number of coffees, either in whole bean or ground, and that'll help to support us. Order T-shirts as well. Order Ulu T-shirts, order Cafe Ulu T-shirts, any way that you can help. For our members, the most effective way you can help now is just increase your activity in building up your capital account. Acquire additional units, and we encourage you to do that. But what we want to do within the next 6 or 7 months is to announce the launch of a second, third, or fourth, or fifth Cafe Ulu, and maybe other types of businesses. But one of the things we're learning is that it's always good to have your own water hole in your local community, a place where you can come and sit, and because you're the owners, nobody can tell you when to leave, what kind of activities you can have inside and outside. So one of the benefits of a business model like Cafe Ulu, it provides an atmosphere, a venue where we can come together and huddle, and commune with each other and build relationships. So even if there was a manufacturing plant in a community, let's say it was a denim factory, and we decided that we wanted to buy that denim factory and produce jeans under Ulu brand, we think that it would be also appropriate to put a coffee shop near that manufacturing plant so that our workers, our members, could have a social space to build relationships and do the things that we do in social spaces as well. So that's very exciting, but it's work and it's commitment. And this is not easy. I mean, it may look fun, but it's hard work, commitment, and we're sticking our necks out, and we're taking risks, not frivolous risks, not high risk, but it's stretching us, and we need as many brothers and sisters who have a similar vision of us taking control of our lives to join with us. But we don't want you to make that decision lightly, because, again, I repeat, if you decide to become a member in Us Lifting Us, essentially what you're doing is making a decision to become a business partner with us, and we want you to look at Ulu from this standpoint and as a business owner, from the standpoint of a potential business owner with us. Our phone number, 404-592-2780. If you have any questions that you didn't have time to ask tonight, but you have a burning question, 404-592-2780. There's also a feedback form on our website. If you fill that out, we'll respond to it. Our email address is info@usliftingus.com. So there are any number of ways for you to reach us, and we would love to converse with you. Ulu is not for everyone, and I'll say this and run the risk of going over our time a little bit. If you really want to become rich by yourself, Ulu is not for you. We would gladly help you and assist you and support you in doing that. But the platform that we are building is a group platform. And so there's really, well, one of the things that I mentioned, and I think Brother Thurman, you mentioned a little bit ago, we're only walking distance from Tyler Perry's studio here in Atlanta. And I would think that Tyler Perry is a billionaire, if not approaching that, or maybe a multi-billionaire. And so I often say that if there were 100 Tyler Perrys in Atlanta, it would definitely add many benefits. But from the standpoint of building power, it would be a drop in the bucket compared to a group-owned platform where we had hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people who had come together in a mutually owned business enterprise that was doing business at that scale. You could much easier and more predictably build power from that platform. So I say that when brothers and sisters take a look at Ulu, make sure that you understand that we're not mixing apples and oranges. We're only concerned about building group-owned platforms, group-owned businesses that we all own together and have an opportunity of benefiting from them together. Again, I digress. I apologize for that, brother.
Thank you so much, Baba Hakima, and no apology needed. We need that. We need to be reminded. We need to be educated. Family members, number of people on the call, they didn't press one because thankfully that they were taking notes and they found this valuable. We've got to change our mindset. We've got to stick our neck out like Baba Hakima have said, because if we don't do the work, to position ourselves, to liberate ourselves, to employ each other, to leave legacies, and to have that dignity. No one else is going to do it for us, and our future is pretty weak. You know, we would suffer more. So the storms are brewing in various places, including the East Coast. And one of the things that we need to have in place is that we've built businesses and we've got powerful resources so that we could take care of our people in whatever kind of storm or emergency. And we're asking you to continue to be a part of Us Lifting Us as members. And if you're not members, take a serious look. Make sure you go to the website, usliftingus.com. Make sure that you also go to CafeUlu.com. It's very important that you participate and show your support. Come out to the event, buy coffee, and you can also order the coffee. And also there's information about upcoming things with Us Lifting Us on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, as well as some wisdom that can help us to have greater clarity about our thinking. And so we're going to end the call for tonight, and we're asking you to come forth and pledge allegiance to your people. Pledge allegiance to your people and join Us Lifting Us. And we're going to sign off, and we'll be back next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Thurman.